report from Vice President Mina Rao on the provisions for the newly introduced program for furloughs and voluntary pay reductions for administrators, faculty, academic professionals, and staff members. These are directed in response to the unprecedented delays in state reimbursements. And lastly, Vice President Noor will provide information about the proposed student fees and assessments for 2011. With that said, turn it over to Dr. Bazzani and Dr. Ghosh. Would you please begin?
Okay. Thanks very much, and good morning. We've got some slides, 14 in all, that I'd like to walk everybody through. Abhijit and I drew straws. I obviously got the short straw. But let me start by thanking Abhijit. Most of the good thinking and the structure that's been given to the committee to date has all of Abhijit's fingerprints on it, so thanks very much. It's a 10-person committee that the President appointed around December 1st. We've been working for about 6 weeks to this point. The Provost's Office, importantly, at each of the three campuses are represented on that committee, several of the deans, and so we do have good broad representation as we take a look at administrative review and restructuring opportunities across the campus. And I want to make sure to say at the top end, and you'll see in a slide that I've placed in here, the university's administrative costs are not significantly out of balance. There have been a lot of good work that's been done over the years by lots of folks, not only in the central campus and university administration, but down to the level of the deans and department heads. Much of that work is ongoing, and you'll see that develop over the course of the next 5 or 6 years. Importantly, however, my first recommendation to the President was that we not jump in the water immediately with another consultant to take a look at all of these things. We have lots of bright people at the university, and our charge allows us, I think, to use our own folks to take a deep look at a lot of our practices. We may come back to the board at another time when we do some drill downs after we've created a blueprint for you to take a look at. So we hope we can give you some good metrics as we go along and some opportunities and some options to take a look at. But for the time being, we're going to do a lot of the pick and shovel work inside the university. I've requested the committee to literally load on a secure site every consultant report we've had for the last 10 years, just to be sure that we've gone back and scrubbed and looked deeply at the recommendations. If anything's been left on the table that's a good idea, we need to glean those ideas and then move forward. So that's the operation. We'll talk about a timetable in a little bit. The next slide talks a little bit about the challenge that we have. It's no surprise to anybody in the room that we have a significant, unprecedented financial challenge for the university, and it now requires structural changes, not just in the budget, but in our operations. I think we all understand that while we've gone through hiring freezes and furloughs, rescissions, they are at best temporary measures. We're going to have to look at long-term permanent solutions, and as that last bullet suggests, we're going to have to control costs. While they are certainly in the mode of others around the United States, we're simply going to have to do more and expect more from each of us at different levels. President Eikenberry, in his letter to our committee and to the chancellors, really called out three pretty simple themes. First, let's take a look at areas where we can improve performance. The second, and importantly, between now and the beginning of the next fiscal year, to reduce costs. Every nickel that is saved on administrative activities obviously is a nickel that we don't have to find in the academy that will impact faculty and students indirectly. And so that is the mindset we have when we're working on things at levels all the way down to the academic departments and units. And finally, the President asks us as we look at things to help rationalize the entire administrative organization. It again is no secret to anyone here that we are a very decentralized. Universities around the country historically, especially the best and brightest, are heavily decentralized. We don't want to get in the hair of the chemistry department, the English department. But when it comes to administrative activities, we're going to have to take a look at clarifying and strengthening and perhaps consolidating functions as we go along. As I mentioned, we're going to build on the past. We will review all of those different consultant reports. The President has asked us to do this wall-to-wall, floor-to-ceiling. Everything from the corporate level, the university level, campus, college, departments, And we've had a good start, good cooperation from the provost and from the chancellors. We'll be looking at services, discrete units like information technology, the IT abbreviation you see there, human resources, down to pervasive operations that will include procurement and utilities. Hopefully, when we conclude, we'll have benefits at all of the different levels. This is a chart that I thought might be important. I mentioned earlier the need for metrics, and those of you in the private sector oftentimes refer to dashboards so that you can see visually with good analytics what's going on. This is simply my way of trying to demonstrate that the university, at least in one peer group, when we talk about the Big Ten, institutional support is a surrogate for administrative costs. And it means all of those things that I described earlier, from the corporate level down through the department. At the University of Illinois, in rough numbers, we added up, it's probably $150 million on something close to a $5 billion base. And while these institutions all count the same way, even if we throw out the outliers, Northwestern is a fairly small institution, and therefore its denominator is small when it's expressed against the costs of administration. Michigan, on the other side, probably leads the Big Ten in terms of the R&D that it does. It has an enormous health sciences center, and so it benefits from the sense of that kind of a fraction. But as I said, even if you throw the outliers aside, the range in the median would be 4 to 8%, and in today's world, the University of Illinois is less than 5% when we talk about institutional support across the board. And again, that's a way of reminding us that nobody's been asleep at the switch. Yet we're compelled, given the financial institution or the financial problems, to do better as we go forward. The scope of our work, as I've indicated, will be to look to clarify roles wherever we can. As the old adage goes, when everybody's in charge, nobody's in charge. And in the administrative area in particular, we want to look horizontally within the campuses to see where like functions. At Chicago, at Urbana, at Springfield, where like functions might be amalgamated from a horizontal standpoint. When we look downward, vertically, from the university through the campus of the colleges, are there functions and services that might be realigned? As we analyze functional areas, we'll be taking a look at the bullets such as how can we improve our processes, what kind of coordination enhancements might we make. The third bullet is one I would call out in specific. We're putting a very heavy emphasis on what today we're calling shared service centers. Over the years, when money was more plentiful, it was possible for departments and colleges, units, institutes, bureaus, and centers to have administrative support staff who dealt with facilities, who dealt with HR, who dealt with business activities, information technology. We cannot afford the army of people that we have distributed in those areas. And so we're asking the campus to look at ways in which services can be shared among and between departments, or where we can roll up, if you will, administrative activities from the departments perhaps to a college level, so you've got a shared services unit. There'll be a very heavy emphasis in this area. My sense is that if we do this correctly over a several-year period, there will literally be millions of dollars that could be saved just by streamlining and restructuring even within the academic departments. We'll look for duplication wherever it exists, and obviously, ultimately, we're going to have to take a look at prioritizing activities. This is simply a list of the different functions and operations that the president called out in his charge letter to us. You'll see on the left side, second from the bottom, development. This last week, we had Dr. Sid Misick, the president of the University of Illinois Foundation, and his senior staff, including advisors at the campus, meet with our committee to begin to look again at whether or not there are ways to better articulate activities between the foundation and its central operation and development functions, we now call advancement functions, literally in every college and unit in the university. Next week, Lauren Taylor is here with us today. Lauren's president of the University of Illinois Alumni Association, and Lauren will be looking to help us in the same way as we try to streamline and look for synergies. I thought it might be important to call out a couple of areas. There's some danger in putting some targets out this early. On the other hand, I think we want to put some big bullseyes out in front of us. There are two or three areas that we think represent the best opportunities for us. The first is information technology. We have five chief information officers at the campus. There's not a single CIO, there are five. Each of the campuses has a CIO, central administration has a CIO, and the hospital has a CIO. We've asked these five individuals, augmented by other professionals in the university, to take a fresh look at, again, streamlining the work that we do. We now spend north of $300 million in administrative data processing, if you will. This does not count research. These are not research applications, but they go down into all of the academic units. In some of the early work that Avijit and I and others have done, we believe that a reasonable target is 10%, that we ought to be looking for $30 million over the course of the next year or two. And we're talking about people, we're talking about equipment, we're talking about huge investments on the capital side in lots of different facilities around the campuses. The central system, you might be interested in knowing, central administration that processes most of the enterprise-wide activities, most of our business systems, our student systems, and the like, is only 10% of this number. It's only about a $30 million component. And so we've grown fairly significantly for good reason, undoubtedly, and we want to embrace the idea that more automation is good. The curves will continue to go up. There isn't any way that we're going to be able to shut the faucet here on the use of IT. We want to encourage it, but we have to have a better delivery mechanism in the future than what we have today. The second big bullseye that we've painted is in the area of strategic procurement. Now, I'm not talking about the purchasing department now. I feel very comfortable in telling you from the work that we've done so far, I believe that Walt Knorr, Doug Beckman, staff colleagues have put together what I think is a best-in-class purchasing department and a set of protocols that can be used to automate in many different ways the work that we do across literally every unit in the university. But this institution spends $1.3 billion a year on non-personnel items, from paper products through computers and everything in between. The best of class around the United States pushes about 80% of their purchases through a central system, 80%. That's the best university in the country. We're doing less than 50% at this point. We're losing the economies of scale. And part of this has to do with changing the policies and really requiring our units at all locations to utilize the strategic procurement contracts that are being negotiated to take advantage of the quick pay, the electronic payment systems that are put in place in our payables area. We believe that if we were able to move toward the best-in-class number, there's an additional $20 or $30 million of savings that would accrue across the institution. And this is an area where it's clear there are incentives for our academic leaders all the way down to department heads. We want to be sure, incidentally, these savings won't occur in the purchasing department. We want to be sure that we've got an accounting system and a budgeting system that can capture these savings, because they will be distributed, as I indicated, virtually in every corner of the institution. So those are the first two. The third is energy. It's not a surprise to the board to know that the last couple of years have been very difficult for us. We have an enormous energy deficit, largely due to a spike up in the cost of natural gas. The work of a committee that was commissioned about a year ago has just concluded this week. President Eikenberry has set a new charter in that area. There will be additional work on the procurement side. How can we take and deal with volatility of prices in the marketplace? There are some recommendations on streamlining the production work, separating the production and the procurement work inside the university. Long term, I think what's important here really is the first bullet, and that is we're looking seriously at whether or not it may make sense finally to push costs down to all of the using departments in the institution. As we all understand, when you have a free good, everyone will take advantage of it so long as they're not paying for it. And so we're going to be looking at setting up initially a shadow operation where department heads and deans understand the cost attached to all of the activities that require energy. I think space will be another candidate. We want to be sure that we're optimizing all of the buildings, the laboratories and classrooms around the university. And that may be another candidate down the road for us to take a look at, to incent the users in the right kind of way, not to control, but to incent, and to make sure